Good afternoon. Thank you for the introduction. And today I'm going to present our tool for protecting SGX enclaves from sidechannel attacks. It is a joint work of Technical University of Dresden and the Technion University. So first, about the motivation. As we probably all know, if we want to run a security critical application in the cloud, we shouldn't trust the cloud provider, regardless of how trustworthy it may seem. There are several reasons for that. First of all, the cloud provider might have thousands of employees, and we couldn't possibly trust all of them. Then a government organization can force the cloud provider to disclose your information, your private information, for example, via a court order. And finally, we know numerous examples of vulnerabilities in the underlying infrastructure, for example, in the kernel or in the hypervisors. So it means that we are running in a untrusted environment. Or in other words, it means that we should assume that the attacker could be in the control of the privileged software. And it opens up opportunities for several new attack vectors. The simplest one of them would be network. When we send a secret over the network, the attacker could simply snoop on the traffic that we are sending. For that, we have network encryption. We can apply something like TLS and protect against those attacks. Then when our application stores data in memory, the attacker could stop our application and scan through the memory and this way reveal the secret. For that we have Intel SGX enclaves, which can encrypt data in memory and provide integrity and confidentiality guarantees. Then, when our process sends a request to the operating system, that is a system call, the attacker can, instead of returning a correct result, the attacker can send an exploit. And this way exploit something in the application. For that, we have frameworks like SCON and Graphene that verify the results of system calls and can notify us when something goes wrong. Finally, when we run in the cloud, we share certain parts of the hardware with the other co-tenants. For example, that could be caches, memory bus, and similar things. And when our application uses these resources, it leaves certain traces in the application. Or in these shared resources. And the attacker can look at those traces and derive secrets from those. These are so-called sidechannel attacks, and unfortunately, nowadays, there are no good solutions for those. And that's why we picked it as the topic of our work. In particular, if we look at the existing solutions, they are clustered, so to say. There are solutions with low overheads, but they require manual changes in the application. That is, you need to invest some development effort in those. And the other group would be completely automated solutions, but they incur high overheads. And that's why the goal for our work was to create such a solution that would be completely automated and which would have low overheads. And we believe we achieved that in Veris. So the approach that we use, how do we achieve these goals? The approach is to rely on the operating system. That is, we noticed that modern operating systems already implement most of the techniques to prevent sidechannel attacks, to create an isolation from sidechannel attacks. But since we do not trust the operating system, we can request this isolation, but we have to verify it inside the application. Or in our case, we have to verify this isolation inside the enclave. The complete description of this approach would be that Veris implements a low-cost protection for Intel SGX enclaves against sidechannel attacks by creating an isolated environment and verifying it at runtime. It's okay if you haven't understood what I said. I will spend the rest of the talk explaining just this single sentence, so it's fine. Let's start with sidechannel attack. So what is a sidechannel attack? A typical sidechannel attack looks, in a typical sidechannel attack, we have a hosted process and we have an attacker. And let's say the hosted process is running this snippet of code. Depending on the secret, it accesses either address one or two. And we have some shared resource. This could be cache, this could be page table, or something like that. And the shared resource has a certain state before the attack. The attack starts by the attacker going through this resource and making sure that it has all the parts of this resource have a unified state. Then the attacker lets the victim run and execute this piece of code. Let's say the secret is zero, we will access address one and leave a certain trace in this shared resource. Then the attacker takes over again, starts to scan the resource and see that address one was accessed and address two was not. Then, assuming that the attacker knows the code that the victim executes, it can derive the secret from this address. It will know that the secret was here. And there are many targets for these attacks. This could be SPU caches, floating point unit, and so on and so forth. But in our work, we concentrated only on the first two, on caches and page tables, because they provide the largest amount of information to the attacker and they have the highest precision. That's why we consider them the most practical. Now, so these were sidechannel attacks. Now, what about isolated environment? What would be an environment which isolates from sidechannel attacks? We analyzed the existing attacks on caches and page tables, and we noticed that all of them share a certain set of requirements. In particular, they either need a high rate of interrupts to get detailed information about the application's behavior. They might need a shared, a predefined cache state. That is, recall, in this sidechannel attack, we had this cleanup stage. This is one of the requirements. Or the attacks, the attack might need concurrent access to a on-core resource. Or in other words, they need the attack process to run on the on a sibling hyperthread with the victim. That is, they share a physical core. And accordingly, we can create an isolated environment by simply forbidding, or rather, making sure that none of these requirements is fulfilled. Now, how do we create such an environment? In our work, we created three protection features that make disable all these three requirements, or we can say that we have three little birds that notify us when something goes wrong. Let's start with high preemption rate. We noticed that many sidechannel attacks, many cache and page table attacks, require a high rate of interrupts. And we measured that a typical attack of this type requires at least 5,000 interrupts per second. At the same time, in the normal conditions, without an attack, we can make this rate of interrupts as low as 30 exits per second, or 30 interrupts per second. This is with a few changes to the configuration in the kernel, but these are minor changes. This is changing the rate of timer interrupts and also enabling dynamic ticks. But the point is that we can get a very drastic difference between the normal conditions and the conditions under an attack. And accordingly, if we would have a mechanism of somehow detecting interrupts within the application, we could count them, and if we see that the rate reaches a certain threshold, we are probably under an attack. But how do we detect interrupts? For that, we use a feature of SGX enclaves, which is called asynchronous enclave exits, and it works the following way. When an operating system sends an interrupt, the SGX hardware automatically and transparently into the application copies the state of the CPU into SGX memory, that is, in the encrypted region of memory. We can reuse this mechanism like that. We write some certain predefined value in this region of memory, and the application starts to periodically poll this value and to detect whether it has changed. Under normal conditions, it is, of course, not changed. But when we get an interrupt from the operating system or from something else, the SGX hardware will copy the register state and override this value. Accordingly, when the process returns from the interrupt, it will read this predefined value and see that it has changed, which we can use as an indicator of an interrupt. Accordingly, we can count interrupts this way, and if we see it too high rate of those, we are probably under an attack. So this was a first mechanism. Now, what about cache state? Again, recall that under a sidechannel attack, that the first stage was the cleanup, where the attacker makes sure that all parts of the shared resource, in this case cache, have unified state. For example, in case of cache, the attacker might go over all the cache lines and make sure that they contain some certain data. We can counter it like this. Our process, our hosted process, after detecting an interrupt, will go through all the cache lines in the cache and access those. It will make all the following accesses, all the real accesses that the application does, invisible to the attacker and undistinguishable from the fake accesses that we did. The final requirement is shared core. In the attacks that require concurrent access to L1, L2 caches, we have a scenario where the process, where the victim process must run on the same physical core and sibling hyperthread with the attacker process. Countering this requirement is pretty simple. We can just spawn another thread in the application and occupy the sibling hypercore. But if the operating system is untrusted, instead of doing that, instead of fulfilling our request, it can pin the second thread to another core and leave the attacker as it is. And unfortunately, current hardware doesn't provide any mechanisms of detecting such a scenario in the application without intervention from the operating system side. That's why instead we use a covert channel to detect this. Again, we have these two processes, two threads in the process, and the first thread writes to a certain memory location, shared memory location, which is shared between these two threads, and the data gets cached in these levels of cache. The second thread will read this data and measure the access time to it. If we are these two threads are running on the same core, then they are sharing L1 cache, and this access will be fast. But if the operating system has not fulfilled our request, they are running on different cores, and they are sharing only the last level of cache, which is much slower. That's why the read time will be also slower, and we can use it as an indicator of something going wrong, which is probably an attack. So in total, these three mechanisms provide us a way of creating an environment that prevents all the L1, L2 cache attacks and all the existing page table attacks. Now, how do we implement it? We implement it as a combination of a runtime library that implements the handshake, collocation detection and cache eviction, in combination with an LLVM pass which invokes the functionality in the runtime library. We also rely on SCON as an interface to the SGX hardware and also as a source of user level thread, as an implementation of user level thread. In the beginning of the talk, I claimed that we have a low overhead in our protection, for our protection. Let me prove it to you. To prove it, we ran a set of measurements where we measured the overheads of various with SGX protection with respect to only SGX protection. And we measured it for a set of benchmarks from Phoenix and Parsec benchmark suites. We also measured it in three configurations in correspondence to the three protection features that we have. And the overheads, the most expensive part of our defense was detection of interrupts. As we see here, it's around 12-13% overhead, and it is caused by the fact that it is implemented as an LLVM pass, which introduces additional instructions in the runtime. However, the other two features, the collocation detection and cache eviction, they introduce only additional few percents of overhead. And it might seem even surprising because cache eviction is an expensive operation which involves writing to thousands of memory addresses. However, these two functions, they are executed only after interrupts. And since we reconfigured our system to have low rate of interrupts, they are invoked infrequently, and that's why their impact is pretty low. So these were results for single threaded applications. Now let me show the multi-threaded measurements. Here we see more or less the same picture, but we have three outliers, K-means, DDoP, and X264. These outliers are caused by a current limitation of SGX hardware, which introduces additional interrupts, requires additional interrupts when an application reaches the threshold of 96 megabytes of memory consumption. So when application has large memory consumption, we see more interrupts, and that's what happened in multi-threaded versions of these benchmarks. Yeah, right here. And in some cases, in the worst cases, the rate of interrupts became so high that we reached the expected level under an attack, and we saw false positives. That's why some bars are missing right here. Now, finally, the final thing is protection. To verify the protection guarantees that Varis gives us, we created a simple victim which goes over all the cache lines in cache, and we created a powerful kernel-based cache attack. And here we see the results for L1 attack. As you see, the picture is very clear. We can perfectly see what the victim did there. In L2 cache, in level 2 cache, the picture might seem a bit blurred, and indeed we have more, a little bit more noise here, but if we scale up the picture is still more or less clear. However, if we apply Varis, we do not see any traces. There are no visible traces. I should mention, however, that the protection is not perfect. There are no visible traces, but you can still statistically define some variations in cache, and those are caused by the last level cache, which we do not protect, unfortunately, in our tool. But the traces, the amount of information that those traces give us, are much lower in comparison to this data. So in summary, Varis is a tool that protects SGX enclaves against sidechannel attacks, against cache and page table sidechannel attacks, and it works by requesting an isolated environment from the operating system, in particular requesting a lower rate of interrupts and collocation of application threads, and verifying these requests in the application itself, within the enclave. This way we get a completely automated solution with low overheads. With this, I want to thank you for your attention, and I'd be glad to answer your questions.
I'm Igu Hu from UT Austin. I have a question about your first and third mechanism, because I'm wondering what is your source of secure timing? Because if I remember it correctly, there is only one secure timing from SGX, which is with very low precision.
Thank you. That's a very good question. We have two sources of timing, which we use for different things. So for detecting a collocation of threads, so for detecting if two threads are running on the same physical core, we need a high-resolution timer. We achieve that by launching an additional thread, additional timer thread. So it is indeed an extra cost of our protection that we have to run this timer thread all the time together with the application threads. Yeah, so that's the source of timing.
But can the operating system change the timing?
Yes, it can manipulate frequency of the core on which this timer thread is running. And to counter this attack, before measuring the time, we also measure timing of a snippet of code which is independent of the frequency. Or in particular, we measure timing of a few cache misses which are independent of the frequency of the underlying core. So we first verify the timer itself, and then we use timer to verify collocation.
Yin Chen Zhang from Ohio State. Just to comment on the timer implementation, we recently have a paper on using risk condition to test, verify that two threads are collocated on the same core.
You're referring to hyperarrays, right?
Yes. And in that research, we did find it is impossible to implement a timer that is not affected by the operating system. Just a comment. Thank you.
It is impossible to implement the timer that will be unaffected by changes in frequency, but we can detect those changes. Because if we see that, so if we test the timer first, we can detect if it was manipulated, if the frequency of the timer was manipulated, and then we can act accordingly. For example, we can terminate the application.
So how do you determine? So you mentioned there is a bit of leakage of information from the last level cache, right? So
yes.
How do you determine whether your solution is good enough? Let's say you have a business, right? And then you are trusting that business to the security of your system. How do you know if this is good enough or you need to still work harder to make it even safer?
Well, that is indeed a very hard question to answer, whether it is good enough or not. Most probably it depends on the application. But I don't think there is any way of saying that for a particular application, whether the defense is good enough or not. No, I don't think it is feasible to evaluate this.
Fair enough. Yeah. Any more questions? Oh, thank you.
Yeah.